All right, the East End Report, ladies and gentlemen, is sponsored by one of my favorites, the New Moon Cafe. That's right. The famous Long Island Tex-Mex style restaurant. What an incredible run they're on, by the way. How about this? 44 years in business? That's unbelievable. Meatloaf Monday, Taco Tuesdays, Burger Wednesdays, Steak Night Thursday, Fajita Friday. And, of course, the great weekend brunch specials. Very friendly tap room, I might add. Incredibly friendly, socially distanced seating atmosphere. The New Moon, they got it all. The New Moon Cafe. Sir, are you... Are you excited with these Islanders? Little Sunday, was it Sunday at 3? A little Sunday action at 3?
Well, Jay, the Lightning, kind of sizable favorites as we go into round 3, as they were last year when the Islanders lost to them, I think, in that bubble with no fans. And we heard that explosive crowd the other night. With that in mind, Lightning... notable favorites, like I just mentioned. So my question to you is, do you believe in miracles? And the reason I say that is I'm going to give you some names on the Lightning. Nikita Kucherov, Andrei Vasilevsky, Mikhail Servachev. Looks like we got a little 1980 yeah. U.S. versus the Soviets here.
Well, Al Michaels, do you believe in miracles? Hey, listen, I kind of do this year, and I'll tell you why. And mainly, you know, the old barn into the new barn next season, you know? I mean, how great would that be for this team to carry around that Stanley Cup as they get ready to exit this place in Union? They'll head to Belmont. I mean, listen, it would be a great entranceway, right? And listen, I remember the Yankees way back, what, 2009, right? Listen, it could happen. And I'm thinking these guys learned a lot. You got no Anders Lee. That would help. Tampa is stacked beyond belief. This is a tall order. But I like the way the goaltender is playing right now. I like the way Barzal has kind of broken out of a slump here. They're hitting like crazy. The most physical team in the playoffs. There is no question. That fourth line is humble. Cizikas is playing out of his mind. I like this team right now. I like this team. And I like this team to win this series in 7 games.
It's a coin flip here. By the way, to wrap this up, Jay, if you get the chance to listen to Tampa Lightning hockey, obviously, you know, we're in the New York market, but there's ways. Anyway, their play-by-play man, Dave Mishkin, talks very normal, somber tones until there's a goal score, and then he literally goes out of his mind. His color analyst, by the way, never shuts up. It never shuts up and will yell while on air, drop the puck already. Come on, drop the puck. He'll talk over the play-by-play announcer. So it's kind of a non-fluid broadcast. Guess who the analyst is for Tampa? 80-year-old Phil Esposito.
Oh, that's right. Good point there. I can't believe Phil is 80. Wow.
Close to it.
Yeah, I remember the day, huh, with Boston and everything. My goodness, 80 years old. All right, let's get to some stuff here. We had on a resident, Kellen Glinchy, yesterday. She's been enlightening me as far as what's been. I mean, it's unbelievable. And the Navy, you know, really under it now for groundwater pollution in Manville. And it's not about anything else but transparency here. And again, it's nothing against, and we're not talking about the service folks. You know, as far as how they go about their business, which is unbelievable, fighting for our country, giving us, you know, our freedoms and everything else. It's about the brass, okay? And you cannot conduct business this way, okay? If there is contamination and everything else present, you must allow the public to view what is going on here. Why is this gotten the way it is right now?
Well, one of the... what's the word? I can't even describe it here. Methods or tactics. I'm going to use the word tactics that the Navy is trying to use is that they're supposed to help, you know, facilitate what's called a Calverton, a resident restoration advisory board, which would be, you know, residents from Calverton work with them. The Navy's complaining that this board is down to just 5 members and, they're basically saying, hey, we may just have to close down this residential advisory board, dissolve it, and be on our way. I mean, the board's purpose is to provide the Navy, you know, with citizen, you know, impact. But through a combination of things, probably with frustration, I mean, if you're on a resident advisory board and you see the inaction, you probably won't want to, you'd be like, well, why be a member of this board? And it looks like the Navy's seizing on that, and they're kind of going, well, it looks like there's a lot of disinterest here. So we know it's a Superfund site, but we may just dissolve this board. We'll just use our own input and figure out how to go along and clean this up.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Tough deal. They got to keep on it. We'll keep talking about it. You cannot sweep this stuff under the rug. I mean, if toxic plumes and everything else. Listen, this is about safety right now, okay? And you must let people know every step of the way what's going on here.
And
as far as this cleanup. Go ahead.
Adrienne Esposito, she's one of the members that's, you know, still on that board. You know, she's from the Citizens Campaign for the Environment. She pretty much said it best. She calls the Navy, quote, their community outreach a farce. It's basically a farce. It's just, she's saying it's kind of like it's just meant for them to get out of town as quickly as possible. And I think you're right.
Yeah. Rob DePuro, the East End Report. Let's go to the town of Riverhead. And, you know, we've been speaking about 555 Illuminati for so long and everything else. But right now, it is to make sure. You know, when you're bringing in accountants and attorneys and everything else here, I mean, it's messy right now. But, you know, that's what Riverhead officials are looking at right now as far as hiring an outside attorney to review the financial information over at Epcot. You got a $40 million deal here, right? So what's the latest here? Where are we at with this whole thing? I mean, there's so much review and dissection right now of this thing. Where are we at?
Well, Riverhead Local... putting it out there, Chris Kent, he's the attorney for the Gamesian family of 555. He's saying we are ready and able to close. Let's do it. We have a letter here from our finances, which proves that we have over $40 million in, you know, in valid finances. What is the timeline here? Well, are we close to the finish line, Jay? Well, now we're actually getting a clearer picture of 555. They actually even have a financial backer who would help to create these businesses, which, according to Kent, will be several large national and international companies. And with the financial, you know, with the backer as far as construction, it's one of the major loan lenders on Long Island, is what Kent mentioned to the town board. This was just the other day. What could go wrong now, right? We finally got the proof from 555. You got that DEC standing in the way with Riverhead Town suing the DEC. Don't forget about that. You got that mess.
It is a problem. There's no question. You know, we'll see what happens. I know Chris Kent from the old days. Listen, they're going to be very hard at this. This is a $40 million deal. There's been a lot of potholes here. A lot.
Yeah, right now, it's those two regulatory permits that the, you know, the DEC will determine that Riverhead Town's application is gave them a notice of incomplete application, which really is jamming up Riverhead Town from finalizing the deal with 555. So really, as of right now, it's not 555's fault for a delay. It's not Riverhead Town's fault for a delay. We're looking at the DEC now seems to be holding things up.
Question. All right, Rob of the Report. So is there a Polish festival? Is it not? Did they slice down the number of days? I'm confused. Where are we at here?
Yeah, this popped up out of the blue. We only just mentioned last week that it was too late to get things together to, you know, to structure anything, which really is, you know, island-wide. If you're wondering why your event isn't going on and you're already seeing that coronavirus is pretty much at the 7/8 mark as far as leaving town, because these things take months and events you know, months to plan, like the indoor concerts. You're sure you can open them up, even if you could 100% today, you still got to book the groups well in advance. So a one-day Polish town street fair and festival has popped up like a watermelon seed out of nowhere. This is just basically a week after the Polish Town Civic Association put out the initial release that they could not do this for a second straight year. Mark the calendar, Jay. Saturday, August 17th, food, babka, stuffed cabbage, peyronis, crafts. People will once again line up waiting for those pierogies, which they'll wait for like half an hour. I've seen it. They stand at particularly the pierogi stand, freshly made. But yeah, I mean, this event's been around for 50 years. It was canceled last year, but it looks like there was some scrambling going on to put it together for one day. It will not be held on Sunday. It'll be the same hours. So, hey, one day's better than nothing.
You said pierogi, but it's pierogi.
Pierogi. I meant to say pierogi.
Yeah, keep in mind, this is a family show. Now, listen, truth be told, this is my favorite festival on Long Island. I used to do a lot of broadcasts out there, too, for RIV. It's just a great atmosphere. They got food, everything you need. That great people. Great people.
Yeah, never a problem there.
Yeah,
you have thousands of people and not one incident I've ever heard of there.
I'm glad that at least they're giving you something, you know, rather than nothing. That's a great festival, folks. Get out there in August 17th. Where else? Where are we going here? Pick one.
Well,
go ahead.
We can go out to East Hampton. What has affected? We're talking about now. We're going to be heading into the start of the summer. You know, what did COVID result in last year? And also now, as far as really we're going to talk about East Hampton Town first. Well, crime was way down, according to Police Chief Michael Sarlo. He tells 27 East, Southampton Press, that nearly every category there was declines in some areas, very significant. You had, you know, less burglaries, less break-ins. You know, you did have, you know, other noise-related complaints, and, you know, you have that kind of pales compared to the overall, you know, crime numbers. And one of the things they also think that in the off-season, which would be January to April, that they had a lot less, and that was because, well, instead of these homes being vacant, everybody either bought their homes or they moved out to their homes. They've been in their homes since, COVID and, the daytime shootings that are going on in New York City nearly every day. So that's a less chance for a burglar to come in and, you know, break into your home because the home is no longer vacant. Now we'll kick over to something else as far as the East End and the Hamptons, Jay. What is the huge downside here? And we'll let you go on a huge rant here. Businesses are struggling, but not for customers. They have more than enough customers. They can't find anyone to work. And the situation is quite bad. I mean, restaurants that have been open 7 days a week, popular ones like Nick and Tony's, Rowdy Hall, they're not open 7 days a week. They're only open 5 days a week because they can't get 7 days of afternoon and evening shift workers. Besides pandemic unemployment, the extra 300, you have the problem where the migrant workers can't come in from Jamaica, Europe, Central, South America because of the pandemic, situation hurdles and red tape. So, sure, you'll be able to go out to your restaurants most days of the week, a little bit less of days open than last year, and you'll probably have to wait a while, but they've got signs.
You'll order scrambled eggs with a side of ham, and you'll wait an hour and a half. I mean, that's really what it's going to come to because, listen, I know a lot of restaurants that are struggling over there. I mean, a load of restaurants. I mean, it is unbelievable. That's what happened. You're giving somebody... Not only that, but if somebody's on the unemployment lines right now and they're getting the extra 300, that's going to continue for the next couple of months. And some states have disbanded that, not the case here. So that is a major problem. Go ahead. Hurry up.
One other aspect here, affordable rentals, that went out the window. So, you know, if you wanted to work out there, where are you going to rent? Okay, you can't rent anywhere east of the canal. Okay, so you go west of the canal. That's probably a problem. You go a little bit more west. How do you get out there? The traffic is insane now. Barbara Rizzi, she's the manager of Tortorella Pools, telling Southampton Press, quote, "And we've lost people to Florida because they don't want to sit in the traffic in the Hamptons anymore." So it's a variety of factors all contributing to a kind of a mess this summer.
Rob DePiro, the East End Report. What's the cardboard boat races about here with registration? Is that open now or what?
Yeah, that's open. That event will be early August. I think we mentioned it last week with the Riverhead BID's slate of events, and they're going to be doing everything now, from what I've seen, that they did 2 years ago. Even that nice art exhibit that they're going to be doing four Saturday nights in the park, right across from the Peconic parking lot. But the cardboard boat race, yeah, that when you last saw that, you probably saw like 2,000, I'd say even like more than that, lined up along the Peconic riverfront. You make your own boat. It's a huge, really nice family event. And it's really, you have the Supervisors Cup race between Riverhead Supervisor, Southampton Supervisor. But you or I could make our own boat. You just make it out of cardboard and duct tape, and you go from the Peconic Avenue side right into the back of Sweezy's. And I don't know how these boats don't immediately sink. Most of them make it from point A to point B.
Always a lot of fun, no question. What did I miss? Anything? What else do you want to talk about?
Well, you do have the big situation where it looks like there's finally going to be, you know, over 300 years of uneasiness, which the uneasiness between the Shinnecock Indian Nation and, you know, Southampton, really, you know, government, I guess, or just builders and building and the reservation. The area of what's called Sugarloaf in Southampton, that is just west of Southampton College. There's finally a deal was announced. Southampton Town will allow the Peconic Land Trust to purchase about 4.5 acres that does lie over ancient Indian burial grounds. The Peconic Trust will then sell that land back to Southampton Town, and then that will remain undeveloped. In fact, I think they're even going to tear down some old mansion that was going to be knocked down and rebuilt. And again, you know, who was standing amongst the tribal leaders outside Southampton Town Hall after the vote? This is the second time in 2 weeks. Was Pink Floyd's Roger Waters, who's been a major donor to the cause of the Indian nation situation, even pretty much has taken three massive ads on there on that those towers, you know, on the Sunrise Highway. He only gave one quick statement saying this is a very emotional day, but he's been working behind the scenes, and you know, with a combination of all efforts, including his, this has resolved that. And their chairman, Brian Pelletti, said hopefully this begins, you know, this is part of the healing of us, our neighbors, you know, over all these 100, 200 years of friction, so maybe that begins to go away. We still don't know about any situation with the casino yet, where it will be. Supposedly, it would be on the Indian Nation Reservation off of Montauk Highway. At some point, they're going to have to put a shovel in the ground to start building something, though. So who knows, you know, where, how that gets resolved, or will it be on Southampton, or will it be west?
That's that was my next question. We haven't heard anything about that that casino. So, I'm sure they've got a plan, but we'll see what happens there. You know, listen, it's been rather contentious. Final thoughts, sir.
Yeah, well, the one last thing, Amagansett, this is could have repercussions on other beaches. There's a thing called Truck Beach. We talked about it last summer where people would just go on to the dunes, you know, like a day at the beach. However, a lawsuit initiated by about 5 or 6 homeowners claiming, hey, this is our beach. You cannot be here. The New York State appellate ruling sides with the residents. So you can now not make a day of the beach over here. So, and this is a messy situation because East Hampton Town did put up signs, you know, stating prohibiting the use of all vehicles in light of the lawsuit, except for fishing purposes, which means you can bring fishing poles, you know, if you're there to fish. And the homeowners are livid now, saying this is a loophole. This is not what the appellate division states. So you have really, you know, the appellate court is warning the East Hampton Town trustees and East Hampton Town. They face criminal, you know, contempt of court. That was, you know, when they posted the signs. So they took the signs down, but East Hampton Town's supervisor is pretty much saying, you know, it may come to where we have to take this over by eminent domain.
Indeed. And that's something that we certainly will have to look for. I mean, that could be very interesting. Rob's report brought to you, ladies and gentlemen. Have you been to the New Moon Cafe? It is unbelievable. Really, it's the best Tex-Mex anywhere, as far as I'm concerned. And they're over 40 years. 44 years in business. You have your Meatloaf Mondays, Taco Tuesdays, Burger Wednesdays, Steak Night Thursdays, Fajita Friday. Going for a fajita later on. It's unbelievable. Weekend brunch specials. Friendly
tap. They have a beautiful patio garden, which they open as a restaurant, you know, outdoor dining, which is right on the lawn next to a New Moon Cafe. So for Father's Day this Sunday coming up, it's really beautiful out over there.
Indeed. And we'll check that out. And I'm looking forward to the Polish Festival on August the 17th. You and I are going to have pierogies.
And I'm half pierogi. I don't know how I messed that word up.
That's allowable. Sir, have a great weekend, all right?
Yes, Jay. And let's hope for Islanders in seven.
Islanders in seven. Islanders at the Coliseum, by the way, next Thursday and next Saturday. So you got Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Those are the four. Tall order, but I think they're going to get it done. Rob DePiro, great stuff as always. Thank you, my friend. Stay well.